Coming up on today's show.
I was like, God, I don't know how to go on. I don't know how to heal from all this loss. And so I just surrendered to God in a deeper way than I ever had before. And I guess the best way to say it is that I went all in.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. It only takes a minute, if even that long, to sign up for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. While you're there on the website doing that, look to at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I have something to pass along about the Facebook group later in this episode. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If you have looked at the website or the social media accounts for this show and seen what I look like, I would never be confused for a gym rat. In fact, with my wiry arms, I've always looked on in awe when I see ESPN televising the competitions where you see strongmen competitions, where the participants are doing things like flipping those enormous tires that are used for monster trucks, and or they're doing something with a log that is so huge that I should be saying tree trunk instead of just log. On social media, I see a lot of videos shot in the gym where individuals are on a weight bench and you can see how much is on the bar and you're cringing in worry before they ever even start to lift it. I'd like to think that so many of us look at these tasks and just think they're too darn difficult. Sometimes we face that same emotion in our everyday life, meaning not related to sports competition, and we resign ourselves to despair, wondering how there can be any hope for us to complete that task or face the situation we're in. Take comfort, friends, that our Heavenly Father is the answer to be able to overcome. In the Old Testament, we read in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, quote, "I am the Lord, the God of all the living. Is anything too difficult for me?" Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest grew up playing a wide array of sports, from softball, basketball, volleyball, and track, to swimming and volleyball. She has also played golf and in tennis leagues, plus she has run a half marathon and a triathlon. Present day, her focus, fitness-wise, is on stretching, strength, and restorative movement, adding that she loves a good hike. She has overcome personal tragedy more than once, and she is the co-founder of Soul Corps, a Catholic fitness apostolate whose mission is to amplify the experience of prayer through physical movement. Their signature Soul Corps rosary is a 60-minute strengthening workout that is set to the prayers of the rosary. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Colleen Scariano.
Hello, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for your time. I have to confess that I'm not sure I even know where you're calling in from this morning, but regardless of your location today, where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Well, just so you know, I'm a little bit north of Indianapolis, but I was born in Chicago. I was the number 5 of 6 children, and my parents were both born and raised in the Chicago area as well.
Now, the 6 children, what's the boy-girl breakdown?
So we had 2 girls and 4 boys.
Okay. Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were growing up, including Catholic education that you received.
Well, you know, both of my parents were Irish Catholic and then, of course, got married. So we really were, what I like to say, it was a chaotic and fun, lively Irish Catholic family that I grew up in. And faith really was the cornerstone. So I was really a cradle Catholic. My parents made the sacrifice, you know, that was definitely a financial sacrifice for them to send us to Catholic schools. And really that was one of my first experiences in sports was through CYO sports. And my dad would coach as well. So that was another way that he was involved in sports. And my parents were always involved in our parishes and made sure that not only were we, you know, faithful mass goers on Sunday, but they were also involved in, you know, various Bible studies and did a lot of social things through the parish as well.
So they set an example so that the six of you saw that going to church isn't just going to mass and leaving and see you next Sunday. That's great to hear. But gosh, that is quite a list that I read off in the intro in terms of the wide array of sports that you have competed in. Thinking back to when you were young, how and when did you first start into sports participation? And was there maybe someone who you might credit for getting you pointed in that direction? Or were you just interested in sports yourself early on, maybe?
You know what? I absolutely would credit my dad, who was a great athlete himself and went to Beloit College on a basketball scholarship. He's a diehard Chicago sports fan, and he raised us all to be that as well. And then also really had us all participating in sports at a young age. And I, you know, instantly kind of fell in love with sports, but my dad was definitely the impetus for introducing me to sports. And I also felt like it was a way to stay connected to him. It was a way that something that we had in common. He loved to, you know, talk about sports, and he would obviously teach us a lot of things, always throwing the ball with one of the kids out in the yard. And then he also helped to coach many of our teams over the years. And I, you know, again, it was just kind of this great bond that we had with him. And I think all my brother siblings felt that same way, that sports was really a way that we connected with our dad and, you know, had this really, our relationship flourished in that arena, in the sports arena with our father.
And do I remember correctly from my preparation for this interview that was it swimming or was it volleyball that really kind of became your kind of go-to sport? I'm talking about high school years.
Yes, volleyball, I began to focus, as you know, I played multiple sports when I was young, but then really started to focus more on volleyball, and that's what I played through high school.
Okay, so let's come full circle on everything we've heard to this point and start peeling back the layers of your testimony. Share with the audience about the first tragedy that you experienced, including the response.
Well, you know, as I said, we were, you know, my family, when I was young, I was number five at that point in the family. So our family was very busy. My oldest brother was 15 years old. And then we had, you know, down to me at that point. And sadly, tragedy would strike my family. And my oldest brother was struck by lightning. Actually, he was at a baseball game and it began to rain and people ran off the field and sought shelter in the tree that he was under was struck by lightning and he was killed instantly. And as you can imagine, it tore a gaping wounds in the hearts of my parents and really of our entire family. And it was really then that I saw their Catholic faith being lived out so beautifully in the response of my parents. I'll just share my mom's response in particular was that she really surrendered to God, and I think in a more full way, because she didn't know any other way to carry on. You know, as a mother, she still had responsibility for caring for other children, yet she was in such pain and brokenness with the loss of her oldest son. But that is really when she turned deeper to spend more time in prayer. I think she sought Jesus in every way possible to strengthen her, to help heal her, and to help her carry on in her vocation as a mother and a wife. And he really did that, as we know that he is so faithful. And my dad also, you know, turned to his faith as well. But really, Dan's death was also kind of a catalyst for some other challenges in our family, because my dad would also turn to alcohol to medicate some, I think, those wounds. And eventually that would lead him to addiction. And my second oldest brother, who was 14, they were not only brothers, but best friends, really felt the loss of Dan inflicted a particular wound in his heart of losing his best friend. So as he would enter into high school in the coming years following Dan's death, he would begin experimenting with alcohol and drugs and become an addict. And so really it was my parents' response in not only the death of their son, but also in the addictions, of really turning to faith as an instrument of healing and surrendering to God all the suffering and the wounds and the dysfunction of the addictions. And that's really where I saw so many of the virtues of the faith lived out. My mom's favorite scripture verse was Romans 8:28, which is, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And she believed that God was at work even in these trials and challenges in our family. And she lived always with this sense of hope, even in times of difficulty. And also my parents, you know, in their marriage, you know, addiction obviously would cause challenges, but they again would always seem to turn back to the faith, whether it was through family prayer, prayer together as a couple, mass and attending other things, the sacraments, the sacrament of confession. And those were always, you know, instruments of healing and also of grace to, you know, to help restore some of the brokenness.
Wow. Wow, there's a lot there. And audience, I want you to remember the ages that Colleen cited. Her brother was 15. She was the fifth of six. And so you can understand how young she was at the time. So I want to fast forward ahead, Colleen. There's a question that comes up a lot on this show. And I think the reason that it comes up a lot is because the Lord likely wants people to hear, Catholic Sports Radio audience member, you are not alone. Do not despair. This happens to others. Learn from them. Return to me. Plus, this is fitting timing-wise since we're starting into Mental Health Awareness Month. Colleen, what I'm referring to is that period of time known as the college years. You've painted a picture for us of a young, devout Colleen, but was that still the case when you went to college? Were you still living out your faith?
You know what, and that I think, you know, many people share this experience, but I will say, of course, when I was under the family roof and living out the family traditions of faithful mass attendance and additional things and prayer and those things, you know, it was all going well. But then going off to college is, I think, so many people experience, where we really have to take ownership and responsibility of continuing those traditions. I still had a love for my Catholic faith, but I really wasn't living it out faithfully. You know, I wasn't always faithful in my mass attendance. And not only that, just the influences of, you know, the college lifestyle and, you know, partying and socializing and those kinds of things. So I really did get away when I was away at college, away from, you know, the faithful routines of the faith. And then when I'd come back home in the summer, back, you know, back into the parents' roof, kind of fall back into that. And, you know, I wish I could say that that was different, but yet, all of the times in our life, even those that when we're out of our routines and maybe not as faithful or even away from God and questioning the faith, they all serve a purpose. I kind of go back to my mom's favorite scripture verse that God can always use these things for good in our lives. And I know he did that for me as well, even though I wish I could say it was different.
Audience, I want you to remember not only that in the intro, I said that Colleen has overcome personal tragedy more than once, but that when she just told us about her oldest brother having passed away, I asked her to, quote, share with the audience about the first tragedy that you experienced, end quote. So not only does she have more witness to share with us, but as much as I just mentioned that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, Colleen's apostolate, Soul Corps, has a mission for this month devoted to our Blessed Mother. Before I have her continue her story and describe that challenge they're putting forth, I want to ask for five more people to join the Catholic Sports Radio Community Facebook group. Remember, it's free to join. As of the date that Colleen and I are recording this, we are five members away from hitting the 100 mark in that group. In fact, I recently put a post in there about Jimmy Coleman. He is the one who talked back on episode 260 in January about his Adoration Ultra. Go look for that because there's a cool update in that regard. The button to join the Facebook group is on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I do like to post exclusives in there so that you're getting something out of that, in addition to being in community with brothers and sisters in Christ who are fellow listeners and or past guests of this show. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to also look for the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is a fast and easy way for you to make a financial gift to my ministry to help me with the various costs associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. I do not get any income for doing this show at all, nor do I have any sponsors. Yet? Question mark. All that means that I have to otherwise try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover the numerous expenses that come my way. And sometimes that translates to having to pass on potential opportunities that might help this ministry reach more people, merely because I just can't afford to do it. So I ask you to prayerfully consider my ministry as part of your tithing. Look for that blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, or, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or just email me via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, online through the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Colleen, my gosh, it is a blessing and a curse for me to have a front row seat to the stories that guests share on this show each week, because it means I will hear each and every story that is going to really tug on my heart and remind me to keep a box of tissues handy. If you would, can I ask you to share with the audience about tragedy hitting your family again, but also once more, what you did in that grief?
Yeah, Bruce, thank you so much for inviting that question. I know it's not always easy to share, you know, difficult things, especially tragic things that we've been through in our life, but there's always healing when we're able to share our story. And obviously we touch other people through the stories that we share, because we all share the experience of suffering and trial in some way in our lives. And so, you know, my parents, as I said, were such a beautiful witness of living out the virtues of our Catholic faith in trial and tragedy. And they really laid a deep foundation. I think I implanted a deep foundation within me of how to respond when we do face challenges in life. And so my mom, in a very short period of time, within a 2-month period, my mom would pass away unexpectedly. And so that was, as you may have heard from the story, she really was, her faith was really like the cornerstone for the rest of the family and supported all of us through different challenges. So it was really, you know, it felt like the core was just shaken so deeply in her death, that especially, you know, not being prepared and having it be an unexpected death. But just 2 months later, my dad and my second oldest brother, Mike, would die in an accident together. Mm. And, you know, our hearts were still broken from my mom's death, you know, within 2 months. It was a time for me of the greatest pain that I had really known, and just losing 3 family members in such a short time. Mm. And our hearts were just kind of so raw. And what it did for me, though, is that it brought me to the place of deepest surrender in my life, because I didn't really feel like, I was like, God, I don't know how to go on. I don't know how to heal from all this loss. And so I just surrendered to God in a deeper way than I ever had before. And I guess the best way to say it is that I went all in, you know, with my Catholic faith and with my devotion to God. And he is so faithful. St. Teresa of Avila says that all things suffered in love will be healed. And we know that God is love. So when we turn to God and truly entrust all of our suffering, all of our broken, all of our woundedness, he is so faithful. And that journey will look different for every person. But what became really a healing instrument for me in that time was, like my parents' example, turning to my faith. And in particular, I really turned to the Blessed Mother, because for the first time, with the absence of my own mom in my life, I turned to the Blessed Mother more, not out of reverence, but more as a mother. And I began to learn more about her and read more about her. And I really, through that, was led to pray the rosary more. And the rosary, as I've learned through my own journey, is really a transformative and a healing instrument of peace. And grief takes a physical toll on our body. And at the time, I hadn't been exercising very regularly, but I began kind of return to running at that time. And I started combining, as a busy mom, the prayers of the rosary and running together, more out of a need for time management to get two things. And those became really the most powerful times of prayer for me. When I was out running, I wasn't distracted by other things. And truly, that combination of prayer and movement became a healing instrument that would restore my grief back to a sense of peace and a sense of hope, and even eventually leading me back to a return to joy.
Well, and I think you're going to tell us that it also led you to co-found SoulCore. But audience, I want you to notice first what Colleen said about the grief, because there's a choice that we get to, at that point, we can abandon our faith. We can turn our back on God and say, how can you let this happen? Where are you now? I'm done with you. You can, quote unquote, maintain the status quo where you are, or you can do what Colleen chose to, which is to immerse herself even deeper and surrender. And what I picked up on is what helped her make that decision is she said, but look at what mom always did. Look at how mom reacted. Look at what example I had from my parents. And so that's how influential you are on a child, whether you're a parent, whether you're a coach, whether you're both, they are looking for those examples that are being set. So in this case, hats off to her mom for being the one that made Colleen say, well, the natural reaction here is I just have to pursue the Lord even more. So Colleen, tell us about SoulCorps. How long has it been around? Its reach, meaning its footprint, its impact, all of that.
Yeah, no, and that was so beautifully articulated, Bruce, which is so true. The examples in our life, particularly, obviously parents, but really the adult coaches, other people that hold that mentorship role in young people's life is so powerful, a witness. And sports is a great way that a lot of people come into our life and have a leadership role and a mentorship role in our lives. And I'm so grateful for the mentors that I had. SoulCorps really, you know, as I said, you know, that combination of movement and the rosary became a healing instrument for me. And I was invited on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And when I was there, a priest had said to me, you know, when you go back, the Blessed Mother is going to have a mission for you. And I wondered what my mission would be. And shortly upon returning, I received this, I say, massive inspiration from the Holy Spirit about combining core strengthening with the rosary, because I had some lower back issues from many of my sports days. And my friend was encouraging me to strengthen my core. And so I was like, as a busy mom, I like that 2-for-1. And so I looked to see if there was something with core strengthening and the rosary, and there wasn't. And just kind of in that instant, God put this inspiration on my heart that he was calling me to create something like that. So that's really where SoulCorps, the seeds of SoulCorps were planted. And I partnered with my co-founder, Deanne Miller, and really the journey together has evolved into what it is today. So SoulCorps really is a sacred experience that engages the whole person in the experience of the rosary. And it's meant to help us nourish body, mind, and soul all together, and to help reflect more deeply on the mysteries and the virtues, particularly of the rosary. And it has really, as I shared for myself, been a healing and transformative instrument in my life, that combination. And now with so many participants that we've had, we've received the same testimony from those that participate or those that lead SoulCorps. And the journey has been an amazing one. And where, you know, I would say I gave my yes to God kind of hesitantly, not feeling qualified to, you know, start a ministry, as you probably understand that in starting a ministry.
Amen.
And there's a lot of challenges that go along with that. But what God has done with it has taken it beyond what I could ever have imagined. Mm. And today we now have over 200 leaders across the country. We're in 7 countries where we have live classes being led by certified leaders. And then we have an online studio where people can experience anytime and from, you know, no matter where they're located. We have over 100 digital offerings of not only the rosary paired with movement, but many other prayer offerings, the Stations of the Cross, Divine Mercy Chaplet, and other prayers. So we have people nourishing body, mind, and soul all around the world through SoulCorps. And wow. It just continues to kind of amaze us, the journey and the response and the transformative power of SoulCorps in other people's lives.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I mentioned going into the break that SoulCorps has an initiative being launched for this month. Share with the audience what that entails and what they can do to participate as your hearing audience, regardless of your location.
Yes, we love the month of May because there's so many opportunities to honor the Blessed Mother. And what we do with SoulCorps is we do the Movement for Mary Challenge, where we challenge participants to commit to praying at least a decade of the rosary a day, and then to move their body for 30 minutes a day. And that can be any movement of your choice. That can be, you know, walking, running, you know, whatever it is, boxing, it can be anything. But we offer the physical movement and we offer the prayers in honor of the Blessed Mother. And this year, we're really excited. This is our 3rd year doing the challenge, and we've had more and more participants each year. So we're excited about that growth. But this year, we're focusing on the different titles of Mary, like, you know, Our Lady of Lourdes or Our Lady of Consolation, Mother of Mercy, whatever it might be. And so each weekday of May, participants will receive a video that has a decade of the rosary with various physical movements that they can participate in, and then a reflection on a different title of Mary to help people discover more about the Blessed Mother and all the ways that she is honored through the church with titles that we can ask for her intercession. And there's so many that we may be familiar with, but there are so many more to know. We're constantly learning about new titles of the Blessed Mother.
Just wonderful. And audience, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the Soul Corps website so that you can go over there and get more information. Some people travel for sightseeing. Some people travel for pure rest and relaxation. You, however, Colleen, sound like you travel for your faith. You mentioned Medjugorje. You've been to Lourdes, Fatima, the Vatican. You've walked to the Camino. You've visited other holy sites. I'm sure those have been one more impactful than the next, but can you pick out just one for us and share a story about your experience there?
You know what? It is, like you said, it is so hard because they all have their unique, you know, beauty to them and different experience. And yes, I have been blessed to be able to travel and go to these beautiful holy sites. And what I love is you can tell, obviously, talking about the background, loving athletics and movement and sports and even the ministry of Soul Corps, is I love that on many of these pilgrimages, we've been able to incorporate movement and exercise and things like that too. Mm. So again, that combination of, you know, sports and athletics and movement and the faith. But I would have to say, if I had to choose only one, I would choose the pilgrimage to Medjugorje, which was my first one. So that may, you know, have something to do with it, that it was such a powerful experience and a time of deeper conversion in me. But what I also loved about that time, that pilgrimage, Medjugorje is such a place, the best way I can describe it is just a place of absolute peace. And so many people that go there will say that. And it's kind of, you know, takes a couple days for us to let the busyness and the fast pace of our lives to sort of melt away once there. But I would say it's one of the places in the world that I felt the greatest sense of peace, both around me and then also interiorly. And I also love that many of the holy possibilities that you have to do there, not only obviously Mass and the sacraments, which of course are beautiful offerings and adoration, but there's also two hikes that are very specific to Medjugorje. And one is hiking Apparition Hill, which is where the Blessed Mother appeared in her apparitions there. And so again, that combination of offering the physical sacrifice of the hike with our prayer, I just think takes the prayer to a new level. The Catechism, you know, teaches us that we are created body and soul, and to offer the most perfect prayer to the Lord, we have to engage the whole person to do that. So engage the mind, engage the body, and engage the soul. And then there's another hike that's up Cross Mountain where you offer particular intentions that you're praying for, and you offer, you know, the difficulty and the challenge of the hike. And then when you get to the top of the mountain with the cross, you leave those intentions there. So I loved that pilgrimage for those reasons, because of that opportunity, I think, to engage physically, as well as that combination of the soul and body. Clearly, you know, I'm in ministry to do that. So that's definitely a draw. But I would say also the beautiful sense of peace. And one of my favorite quotes about the rosary is that the rosary is for anybody who wants to cultivate interior peace and to grow in virtue. And I would say, you know, the Medjugorje is a place of the rosary being prayed, you know, maybe even thousands of times a day, depending on how many visitors. And I do think that that's why there's such a great sense of peace there. And of course, Our Lady's presence, you know, has been there as well.
And audience, every time I hear somebody reference Medjugorje, to this day, I still think back to August of 2020. If you never heard my interview with Father Michael Leitner, please, please, episode 80, go navigate back wherever you listen to the show. Navigate back to episode 80. Father Michael Leitner told a very, very powerful story of what happened to him at Medjugorje. That this isn't necessarily a spoiler alert, because you really have to hear it in context, but it's what led to him being called to the priesthood. Really powerful, really powerful. Colleen, as we get ready to close, I know that you're married because I saw something that said your husband did the half marathon and the triathlon with you. But tell us how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as about the family that you and him have made.
Yes, we have been married. We're actually just getting ready next week to celebrate our 28th anniversary. Mm. And my husband, Jeff, and he is amazing. And we have three children. The oldest two are out of college now and in their 20s. And we have a son. Our youngest son is going to be, he's just finishing up his sophomore year at Clemson. And actually, he just studied just finished a semester in Spain and just came home last night, actually. So we are so joy-filled to have him back in the house. And then we are also our grandparents as well. So we have our first little grandbaby, Stevie Joe, and that has been a true joy for us. And our family, I guess, imitating my own family that I grew up in, we chose to send our children to all Catholic schools and made that sacrifice. And that has been truly a gift for our family and our children's lives, and helping to help us as parents to plant the seeds of faith deeply within our children. And really, we've had an opportunity to, many of the pilgrimages that you shared that I had been on, I chose in high school to take each of my kids on a pilgrimage. And we did, we did a lot of very secular things too, visited a lot of, secular sites, but we also always combine that with a trip to a pilgrimage site as well. So it's just another way to show our children that, our faith can be incorporated in every aspect of our lives, and to live that out so fully and to make faith fun. I think we've tried to do that in our marriage.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that. I made the mistake of assuming, which is always a bad word, assuming that, well, obviously they're raising their children in the Catholic faith. This is someone who is on the show and giving her testimony, but also talking about the fact that you have a Catholic fitness apostolate. So I'd be shocked if the kids weren't being raised in the Catholic faith, but it's still good to hear that nonetheless. And about this additional vocation that is being a grandmother, obviously you've been called for sure to Soul Corps, and thank you for the work that you're doing for the kingdom. God bless you in your efforts. Audience, again, look for the link I'm going to put over to the Soul Corps website. Colleen, thank you so much for your time. God bless you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much, Bruce. It was a delight to be with you today.
Likewise, likewise. And audience, we're going to close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. So let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.